The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Ancient Warfare Answers, which is our short 10-minute dose of ancient military history for your week. I'm Murray Dahm. I'm the assistant editor of Ancient Warfare magazine. I'm on my own again today, so here's me talking about stuff I want to talk about. Thank you for your questions. Of course, you can ask us a question. Anyone can send us a question in via email or comment or Facebook or anything like that. You can, of course, also back us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/ancientwarfarepodcast. And you can back us at one of three levels, even get a copy of the magazine. Today, I'm going to be answering a question about the Hermopoe. What were the Hermopoe? We'll get to that in just a minute. How widespread was the use of Hermopoe in 5th century Greece is the question. Now, Hermopoe are tricky because, of course, they are infantry with horses, which kind of contradicts, but there is widespread evidence of them, not in one place, all over the sources, about infantry who seem to either run with horses or come with horses, dismount and fight as infantry. It's a tricky one. The word itself goes back to Homer, where you find Ajax is compared to a man who leaps from his horse, or from horse to horse. So you've got that. You then have other references, not in historical sources, but in tragedy. So Sophocles talks about Hermopoe. You've got other plays where Hermopoe are mentioned. So clearly the word was understood. What it stood for was immediately apparent to the people hearing those words. It's not obscure to them. So in a military context, we've got Herodotus in 480 BC talking about Gelon of Syracuse, the tyrant, who promised to send the Greeks 200 triremes, 20,000 hoplites, 2,000 cavalry, 2,000 archers, 2,000 slingers, and 2,000 light-armed men to run with the cavalry. So 2,000, infantry who are running with cavalry, and he specifies that, which is interesting because, of course, you've got 2,000 cavalry and 2,000 infantry to run with them. Now, Herodotus doesn't use Hermopoe as such. He uses another unusual term, which is hippodromoi psiloi, which is running with horses, light-armed infantry. So the interesting thing there, of course, is that they are meant to run with the cavalry. So we then get Hermopoe in 418 BC at the Battle of Mantinea. And here the Boeotian army, which is making up part of the operations, gets 5,000 Boeotian hoplites and as many light-armed troops, so 5,000 light-armed troops, 500 cavalry, each with his Hermopoe. So these are 500 men who are deliberately designed to run with the cavalry. Again, Thucydides does not gloss that term, so it's something that all of his readers would have understood and what it means. It's interesting that we've got both Herodotus and Thucydides giving us an equal number of Hermopoe and cavalry. We find them in the 4th century as well. I know the question asked about the 5th, but as with so many topics, we have to kind of go beyond it to understand what was before it. We get them at the Battle of Mantinea in 362 BC, and both Xenophon and Diodorus mention them. We also find them, again, back in the 5th century at the Battle of Delium, not in Thucydides, but in Diodorus, who mentions that there were a unit of 300 men who have this peculiar title of charioteers and footmen. Now, that is interesting in itself because the 300 Thebans eventually becomes the Sacred Band. They're not called the Sacred Band at the Battle of Delium in 424 BC, but it seems to be something related. And the fact that you've got charioteers and footmen would pair them up, make them infantry, what's going on. So what you've got, therefore, is it's not a specific unit, but it's describing how they fought. And so you've got the idea that they are possibly infantry associated with cavalry, but they might also be dismounted cavalry themselves, because we get that in some of the other associations with them, especially through Aristotle. So are they therefore men who rode to war and fought, who dismounted and then fought as infantry, or are they men who are put with the cavalry because they're able to run fast and keep up with the horses, which of course is also something that's associated with later eras of warfare, of men running with the horses, mainly Caesar, when he at the Battle of Pharsalus, where he is able to defeat the superior number of cavalry of Pompey by having infantry mixed with his cavalry. But it's not a radical solution, because their hamipoi have been mixed with cavalry for centuries prior to that. We've got some other interesting sources there. In 403 BC, Xenophon mentions that the Spartan king talks about attacking the Athenians and ordering his cavalry to charge at them full speed, and the infantry within 10 years of military age, so that's 18 to 28, would follow the cavalry, while the rest of the army, the older men, would bring up. So that seems to tell us that it's a selection process of the fittest, youngest troops to fight with the cavalry and be close with the cavalry. So that seems to be hamipoi, but it's normal Spartan infantry doing that, not specifically named light infantry or hamipoi infantry. So we've got a couple of those. We then get the idea again at the Battle of Mantinea in 362, where the phalanx of hoplites is intermingled with foot soldiers and cavalry, and foot soldiers are mixed together. We then get Xenophon's cavalry commander, where he talks about the duties of the cavalry commander, and he talks about one of the duties of the cavalry commander is to demonstrate to the city the weakness of a cavalry destitute of infantry, hamipoi, as compared to a cavalry that has infantry attached to it. So it seems to be something that is expected or regarded as a superior way of having your cavalry with infantry attached. So he then later talks about the both divisions should have an infantry contingent, and if the infantry hidden away behind the cavalry come out suddenly and went for the enemy, I think they would prove to be an important factor in making victory more decisive. So seems to be, therefore, what we've got infantry attached to cavalry that are to operate as infantry, either light-armed or heavily-armed, within the cavalry formation to either protect the cavalry from being defeated or to ensure that they are, you know, bringing victory for the cavalry, or ensuring victory for the cavalry. So we've got various aspects of the usefulness of hamipoi. Diodorus also talks about the Athenian cavalry attacking the Theban cavalry and suffering defeat because they didn't have hamipoi attached. So he talks about the fact that the Athenian horse was defeated, not because of the quality of their mounts, but on the fact that the Athenian cavalry was deficient and didn't have light-armed troops attached to them, where it says at the end of that passage, indeed, the Athenians had only a few javelin throwers, whereas the Thebans had three times as many. So clearly this is not something that is limited to Athenian armies, but to several armies across all of ancient Greece. We then get hamipoi into the period of Alexander the Great. And interestingly, by this point, he's not necessarily using the same terminology. And the sources aren't using hamipoi as a term, but they do seem to be doing the same role. And if you look at the major battles of Alexander, Issus, Granicus, and Gaugamela, he sends his cavalry into their decisive charge only with infantry attached. So you get the royal hypaspists fighting with the cavalry, the companion cavalry. So they seem to be behaving just exactly the same as hamipoi did at the Battle of Gaugamela, for instance. So You then get various different sources of Alexander describing these Hermopoe tactics, and even across different cultures. So you get the same thing described for the king of Sogdiana, for instance, that, you know, the young nobles who are, sorry, this is also Alexander, who are attaching, the young nobles are basically accustomed to fight as cavalry, but they are dismounted and fought as infantry. So it seems that it is a common tactic, whether it's a, I don't think it's a unit. I don't think it's a matter of men being selected to form a separate unit, but they are certainly selected to perform that duty. And that seems to be the younger, more fitter men designed to run with the horses and guarantee that the cavalry is both victorious and not vulnerable to attack from the enemy. There you go. See you next time.